CrossFit is concurrent training. Basically, an athlete is being pulled in multiple directions because they are training for many different adaptations. And historically in literature, this has been called like a quote-unquote interference effect. And in the last maybe two decades, a true interference effect has sort of been debunked, but there is a reality around limitations on certain systems. And the more polarized the adaptations are that you're seeking, relative to a particular system, let's call it, the harder it's going to be to hold both of those adaptations concurrently at the same time. So, for example, if you want to be an elite marathon runner and an elite strongman, that is going to be basically an impossible task, right? And it's not because you can't train and get good adaptations in strength and endurance at the same time. It's more so that if you go to the extremes of a particular system, that it's going to break down. It's not going to work, right? There's just limitations. Meaning that, for example, in this case, it'd be like hypertrophy. The amount of hypertrophy, aka muscle mass, that you're going to need to be an elite strongman is extremely high. The amount of muscle mass, lean body mass that you need as a marathon or runner is very low compared to the amount for the strongman. So you can't sit on both of those two points in the spectrum at the same time. You're going to either have to sacrifice one or the other. If we think about maybe like a video game as an analogy, right, where you can go in and like customize your football player, for example, it's like, okay, you have these different sliders. Maybe it's like speed versus size, and you can select wherever you want to be on that spectrum, as low or as high. So you can be as fast and as little as you want, or as big and as slow as you want, but you can't have both, for example. Or maybe it's like power versus endurance, right? You can have a super powerful athlete, but then they fatigue really quickly, or you can have great endurance, but they're not going to run very fast, right? And again, you can select wherever you want to be at any of those different spectrums. However, you can't just like break it and go off the rails, right? And for example, hypertrophy would be one example in physiology where that's the limitation of the system, right? You can choose to have as much or as little hypertrophy as you want. However, you have to sit somewhere on that spectrum. You can't just deviate from that. And I think if we use that video game analogy, it can be helpful to frame mentally how to think about these different systems, right? You can choose, for example, hypertrophy. How much do you want? Do you want a lot of muscle mass? Do you want a little bit of muscle mass? Where do you want your fiber type composition to lie, right? You can choose and like manipulate these different sliders, so to speak. However, you can't just like go off the rails. So to use another example that I just gave there would be fiber type composition, right? Meaning that you can have fast twitch, primarily fast twitch muscle fibers, which are going to be really rapid to generate a lot of tension and be very powerful, but then they fatigue quickly. Or you can have slow twitch muscle fibers, which are going to have excellent contractile repeatability, but they can't produce a lot of force. And yes, you can have hybrid fibers, which are going to have qualities of both the fast and the slow twitch. However, generally, the more experienced the trainee is, as we've seen in the literature, the more polarized their fiber types tend to become, meaning that they either start to move towards a fast twitch fiber or a slow twitch fiber. And again, if we go back to this slider theory example, you can choose wherever you want to be at on that spectrum, right? You could be 70% slow twitch, 30% fast twitch in a particular muscle, or you could choose to be maybe 60-40 or 85-15, or maybe you could go the other way and be, you know, 60-40 to fast twitch. Again, in theory, you get to choose wherever you're at on that spectrum. And then maybe people would say like, well, can I add more fibers? Isn't that a way to do it? It's like, yes, but now you've entered a different system. Right, you've gone from the composition of that muscle to now adding more muscle mass, and now we're talking about hypertrophy. My point is, there's a lot of these limited systems in the body. We could talk about nervous system tuning, hormonal profile, body weight, body fat, or lean muscle mass. We could talk about somebody's cardiac development. We could talk about their metabolism substrate use. And many of these I've talked about before. I'll link to them in the comments or the show notes, episodes 8, 12, 47, and 59 would be great references if people want to go back. However, there's one more concept that is critically important to concurrent training because it spans across multiples of these systems at the same time. That is tension. So if you want to maximize your potential and tap out each of those systems, you have to learn to optimize tension in concurrent training. The fitness movement is brought to you by Zord Fitness. We offer coaching and individualized program design, as well as educational content for coaches and athletes. It's all at one place, zoorfitness.com. So the deal with tension is tension isn't a singular system like fiber tight or like nerve system state where it's just like this single thing, like it's like I described like a slider before. Tension isn't necessarily one system, right? Rather, it spans across a bunch of different systems and it's going to impact many different facets of someone's physiology. So I've found that an understanding of how to regulate and manipulate tension is basically sort of, you can think of it as like a linchpin to unlocking higher levels of performance in concurrent training specifically. Tension is going to be important to regulate for all types of athletes if they're optimizing for any specific thing, whether it's endurance or strength training, etc. However, it's a lot easier to optimize tension if you're going after one thing. Like, it's really easy to just drive a ton of tension if you're an elite power lifter and you are spending a lot of your time lifting really heavy loads and just doing accessories around improving those. Whereas if you are on the opposite side of things, an endurance athlete, it's, again, really easy to select, kind of like automatically move yourself into the right amount of tension because you're probably already geared that way naturally. And doing a lot of endurance work is going to be reinforcing to the correct amount of tension that you need, which is going to be significantly lower than obviously an example like that powerlifter. However, the challenge becomes when someone's doing concurrent training, they need to have times where they need to be at really high tension and times where they need to be at lower tension. Manipulating that tension and going back and forth becomes a big bottleneck to a lot of athletes' performances. And the reason I think this is a linchpin for performance, I chose that word carefully, is because for an athlete, focusing on something like fiber type or, you know, cardiac development, for example, like that has absolutely zero utility for an athlete. Not that those things aren't important, but they're not going to be focusing on those things. Like an athlete's not sitting there doing their squats thinking about their fiber type. They need to focus on the things that matter. Like, and that is really like, okay, let's put ourselves into a physiological and psychological ready state for their next session, whatever that thing is. So you need to be physiologically and psychologically prepared to go into a strength session if that's next. Likewise, if you're going into endurance session, you need to be in the mindset that's going to elicit your best performance in the very next thing that you're doing. It's the Brian St. Andrews quote that I'm always going back to. Execution is worshipped. Athletes should not be worrying about their physiology. Athletes should not be worrying about program design. Athletes should be worrying about executing their work the very best that they can. And I've talked about this before. If you're an athlete and you're listening to this, your job is to research to a ridiculous level your coaching options with great scrutiny, great attention to detail. And then when you hand select your coach, it is then your job to never think about program design again. Set it and forget it. Provided that you did the research, you made the best decision that you could at the time with all the resources that you have available, then you need to wholeheartedly believe that your coach and the program that they're writing for you and putting into practice is the best thing that you possibly be doing for yourself. If you believe that with all of your being, you're going to set yourself up for a long, successful career in sport. So for athletes, again, we're talking about people where their job is to execute on the work. They should be focusing on manipulating tension as they need to for their next session, because that brings their focus back into the things that matter, brings it back into their mind, into their body, and prepares them for their next workout. So like, why is tension so important? Well, it's very, very closely tied to things like state and level of arousal, first of all. State meaning nervous system state, how sympathetic or parasympathetic someone's nervous system is, basically what level of arousal are they currently at. So if someone's about to step under the bar for a one rep max squat and they've have more weight on that bar than they've ever lifted before, their state of arousal is going to be very high. Versus if you're very relaxed and kind of tired and sleepy, that's going to be in a very parasympathetic sort of rest and digest state. So you can think of those as like two ends of the spectrum. Again, level of arousal is kind of tied in very closely with that, where if you are on the floor at the CrossFit Games and you have a 1RM clean event coming up, your level of arousal is going to be extremely high. Where if it's going to be a marathon row, your level of arousal is going to be much, much lower. So again, as I'm alluding to, this varies based on what task the athlete's going to be doing. Again, if an athlete knows how to regulate their attention properly, they know how to alter it based on if it's strength and power activities versus if it's endurance versus if it's recovery in between their sessions. So obviously being in the right tension for whatever task is required is super important. But how do you actually manipulate yourself to get to that spot? The most important thing that an athlete can learn how to do is alter their mental framing and gear up for whatever activity is coming based on their self-talk. So if you are gearing up for strength and power where you need a lot of rigidity and stiffness to be able to be successful in that thing, then you need to find ways to conjure up intensity through your self-talk. Likewise, if you're going to get ready for endurance activities where you need to be really fluid and more relaxed, then you need to be more so in like your mental framing and the way that you talk to yourself and the way that you think, very, you know, practicing patience, more of a like relaxed, sustainable type of power. So in my mind, if when we're having an athlete and they're doing concurrent training, the most important thing to learn how to properly master tension is through experiences and basically recommitment to the process. Meaning that if we have an athlete and they are pretty low motivation for what they actually are needing to do, they're going to have pretty low adherence to the program and just pretty low results from what they need. Meaning that, you know, if you just like the idea of doing some concurrent training and you're going to do some rep progressions and do some powerlifting, you're just going to have like mediocre results at all that stuff. Whereas if you very desperately need to get as good as possible at two different things, even if they sit on the same spectrum, you're much more likely to do that. Meaning that, like, say you are a professional CrossFit athlete where whether you have success at a competition and can win some prize money will be the difference of whether you can put food on the table for your family or not. Your commitment and level of motivation for what you do is just going to be completely in a different ballpark. So the key to get your best adaptations out of whatever it is that you're doing next is to be maximally motivated when you're going into that next thing. And there's no way to fake that, right? You have to be recommitting constantly back to the process of whatever the thing is that you're doing, and you have to need to get really good at that. So let me give two contrasting examples. If we have an athlete and they're going into their strength session and their mindset's like walking up to the bar, working up to the building sets, and they're like, all right, we're going to hit this deadlift progression today. Let's see how the bar is moving. And just like that's sort of like their mental framework about how they're moving through their piece, which to a lot of the outsiders, it seems like, oh, there's nothing really wrong with that. Like they're just kind of going through the work. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly the problem, right? For a person who's trying to get as strong as they possibly can and lift the most weight they possibly can, they're going to be like, I'm going to freaking rip this bar off the ground and it's going to move with as much speed as I possibly can do. And that's like the mindset they have every single time they lift the bar, is that like, I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can and put as much intensity as I'm able to into that bar, right? And just like the mental, again, like conjuring up of intensity is dramatically different than the person who's just, again, I'm going about my deadlift progressions, right? Just kind of more relaxed about the whole thing. You need to be able to do that. And then you need to be able to turn around for your next session, say that's an endurance session, and then be able to walk into that endurance session and be smooth and be methodical and be patient and be relaxed and be fluid, right? And allow yourself, again, to build enough volume to begin to express more power across longer bouts of work. So that's key if you want to be getting as good as you possibly can at both. However, in CrossFit specifically and some other similar like mixed modality type events like Spartan races, High Rocks, even if you're like a first responder or like military, things like that, you also need to have this skill, is that you're going to have times where you need to be able to modulate intensity and arousal in the middle of what you're doing. So let's call this like intra workout tension management. So you need to be able to manipulate your intensity, your mental framing, your tension and your arousal moment by moment in a workout. So this is probably easiest if I just give an example, right? 4 rounds for time, 400 meter run, 4 deadlifts at 85%. Again, for most people, especially if you're an experienced trainee, 85% deadlift is very heavy and it's going to feel like almost a max effort load every time you pick it up. So in order to be successful in that type of environment specifically, again, you need to be able to control your mental framing, you need to be able to control your output and your tension and rigidity to put yourself into basically like the minimum effective amount of tension that you need to be successful in each moment. Any amount too much, you're going to have wasted energy, and any amount too little is obviously you're not going to be able to actually lift the bar and move effectively. So let's pretend we're actually going through this workout. Basically, your mental space as you're moving through the running is going to be relaxed, efficient, economical, fluid, trying to be as relaxed as you can while still moving effectively. And then as you step up to the bar, that sort of mental framing and cueing is going to change for yourself. And it's going to move from that relaxed, efficient to, okay, get tight, big breath and hold, right? Drive hard, move fast, right? The cueing to yourself changes dramatically. And then again, as soon as you drop that bar, it's allow the breathing to basically relax and move back to like a more natural pattern where it's not synced up necessarily with movement really aggressively. You're going to release a lot of that tension that you were driving. Again, moving back to as quickly as possible, readjusting to relaxed, methodical, efficient, and how you're framing and thinking about that. Finally, last thing I'll say here is that one of the best things an athlete can learn to do is manipulate their tension through state. Again, I would go back and listen to episode 8 of the podcast, Shift State, to get a lot more on this. I went really in depth there. But what you will notice with elite athletes is that they're able to regulate their state moment by moment in a workout. And especially after workout, they're able to just return to homeostasis so much faster than their sub-elite peers. And this is due to a lot of different factors. You know, they got a more robust aerobic system. They just have like more experience and they're more professionalized around their approach to physical training so that, you know, if someone just has less on their plate because they're a true professional in what they do, they're going to be able to recognize and learn how to deregulate just a lot quicker, especially like post maximal exercise. And then 3, they just have better coping mechanisms for exercise induced pain. So basically their stress response is lower and their SRA curve is tighter. Stimulus response adaptation. So if you want to get as good as you can at CrossFit, and other types of concurrent training, you have to learn to optimize tension. Thanks for listening today. If you're someone who just started listening to the show, I would encourage you to subscribe so you can stay up to date. If you're someone who's been listening for a while, I would encourage you to rate and review the show. And lastly, the best thing that you can do to support our work is also the best thing that you can do for your performance. And that is by hiring one of our coaches. Until next time, stay the course.